privilege it is to be able to speak at our church here today. You know, today I'm going to be speaking on My God is Big. I hope you enjoy this message. You know, this morning I woke up and, as you do, and I woke up with these words, two words in my mind, aware that I was obviously preaching, but this isn't what I was preaching about. Alignment and assignment. I got these two words, and when God started to speak to me, I just lied in my bed. It was about 6:45, and I was just lying there thinking about it, and I felt the Lord say to me that often when we think of the word alignment, we think of people that we're connected to. And there's nothing wrong with that, that's correct. But in this case, I felt like the Lord said, alignment with me and therefore your thinking and your belief. But it affects, it determines your assignment. And if you don't have the right alignment, if you don't have the right thinking, you don't have the right belief, then you don't step into the assignment that God has purposed for you. And some of you today are living in an assignment that is way too small for what God purposed for you. Some of you are living in an assignment right now where you've settled for something that was never what God had planned. And it's because of your circumstance, because of what happened in the past, because of way things have fallen into place. But I want to stir you today to remember that your God is bigger than your circumstance. He's bigger than how you think. He's bigger than what took place in your life in the past. My God is big today. My God is big, and He can come through in every circumstance. So today, we're going to talk about your alignment, because as we talk about your alignment, you're going to have a redefined assignment this morning. Lord, I pray in this room that people would come with a sense of clearing away the clutter. They wouldn't live with what has been, what was, what can't be, but they would live according to a plan of a big, big God. You are a God that is limitless in your capacity. And I pray that in this room today, that there would be revelation that would be released. There would be people in this room that would have come feeling like their life is defined. But I pray today that all of that definition would be taken away and they would be repurposed, reassigned, realigned in their thinking and their beliefs so that they can step into all that you have for them. My God is big this morning. I want to talk to you about the topic of my God is big. You know, my grandma, I've talked about this before, was a great lady of faith. But my grandma was a lady who was very simplistic in her faith. And so when she read something in the Bible, she applied it literally. Now, I know that's what we should do, but who knows, we get complicated in our understanding and our knowledge, our theology. We think things through too much, I believe, sometimes. And sometimes we should take God at the simplicity of His Word. And my grandma, she was very simple in her belief, wasn't really educated in her background. And so often she would live in a place where she would just believe God. She would just pray and see God come through in her circumstance. And I remember as a kid, my father lost his keys. I don't know what it is about dads and losing keys, but it's a common problem. I am a dad now and I lose my keys all the time. Any other dads got that confession? No, they don't want to own up to it. Well, you should own up to it. But now my family, for my birthday, bought me one of these things where you press a button and you can find your keys, except that I've had it for 2 years and the batteries are flat and it doesn't work. But I've still got the thing on my key ring, ridiculous. But my grandma would simply pray, and now my wife does the same. And there's a part of me that it actually almost annoys me. Because it's like, I lost my keys. What does God care about my keys? My God has got a lot going on in His world, and He doesn't really need me to say, God, could you help me with my keys? But the problem is that so many of us have actually defined what God does, that we've actually put a boundary at the bottom with God, that God only listens to our big prayers, our big needs, our big circumstance, our sickness-related issues, our challenges with our finance, that what would He care about where my keys are? But what I've learned from my grandma and now from my wife is that when I'm running around the house going, where the heck are my keys? My wife is just standing there, Lord, would you just show us where the keys are? And that even makes me more infuriated. And I say, stop praying, start looking. But the worst part is, guess what? Every time they do that, you find your keys. But the bigger problem is not that. The bigger problem is that we've defined God. See, what I've done is I've said, God, why would God do that? And at the bottom end of the smallest little thing in our life, we've defined that God wouldn't be interested. But the problem is that then we actually put a definition at the major end of our life because we say, well, God is this. But I want you to understand that my God is infinite. My God is limitless. My God is not consumed by the smallest or the largest. Whatever is our smallest and whatever is His largest are completely different. My God is big this morning. And He wants to come and show you how big He is. There's a great preacher in England in the 1950s. And a lady went up to him at the end of the service and asked him the question, you know, when I pray to God, does He even listen to the smallest things that I pray for? Should I really just pray for the big things that are in my life? And the preacher said, can you really tell me anything that's really big in your life that God would consider to be big? In context, he's saying, our lives seem so big to us in circumstance, in situation, that thing we've been told. But in the context of an infinite God, they're really quite small and defined. And I don't say that to belittle your circumstance. I say to say you have a God that is quite capable of solving whatever your problem might be, intervening in whatever might be happening in your world, and you therefore understanding that your God is big enough for your circumstance. But in Ephesians 3 verse 20, it says this, now to Him who is able, oh, I love this passage of scripture, now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. Think about that. He's able to do immeasurably more. Immeasurably means you cannot measure. Whatever you might ask for, think about it. What have you asked for? What have you dared to believe God for this week? What have you dared to believe God for in your kids' life? What have you dared to believe God for in your finances? What have you dared to believe God for in your marriage? What are you asking for? But it's actually beyond His capacity, even what you can imagine. So you've got to fathom that where you sit today and what the biggest dream that you could possibly have is so possible in God. So it's time for us to start to believe at a higher level. It's time for us to believe that when we see 680 decisions, that's great, but come on, it's time to believe for 1,000 decisions in one weekend. You know, in your circumstance of your business where there's that one contract that you're just believing, God, would you come through? Come on, it's time to start to believe for 5 contracts of the same magnitude. Where it's in your health right now, you say, I can't even break through in this minor ailment that I have. What happens if I have something bigger? Well, I want you to dare to believe that today God is a healer and He can come through because my God is bigger than your circumstance. My God is greater. My God is infinite. My God is immeasurable in His capacity to do what He's purposed to do. But now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to what? His power that is in work within us. The key question is His power at work within you? Is His power, or the equivalent measure is His grace at work within you? It's interesting because Peter, the Bible says, denied Christ. But before he denied Christ, Jesus called it out. And He said, you're going to deny me 3 times, Peter. And Peter denied that he would deny Him. You know, it's quite an interesting conversation. But then Jesus begins to pray, and He actually says, when He realizes that He's denied me, in Luke 22, I think it is, He says, when He realizes He's denied me, or when He's sinned, this is Jesus praying. So Jesus is actually acknowledging that Peter is going to sin. Why didn't Jesus pray, don't sin? Why did Jesus allow him to sin? Right here is an interesting thing, because for his power to be at work within us, Jesus has acknowledged that we are sinful people. He has acknowledged that we have our humanity wrapped around us. But one of the problems that we have is Jesus has acknowledged it, but we find it hard to acknowledge. We actually live with sin wrapped around our life. We live with circumstance that happened many years ago, and we hold on to those things, and it causes us to look at a God through the filter of, well, he can't do that because I have sin in my life. But I want you to understand today that that very same God knew that Peter was going to sin, but did he dispense of him or did he dispose of him? No, he actually prayed for him, and he said, once you have sinned, I pray that you will be an encouragement to your brothers. In other words, the infinite power of God gives the ability for us to actually do things that are not of him, but he has the authority to be able to use those things that are not of him to actually build our capacity and our authority to do what he's purposed us to do. So I want you to understand today that when we talk about that power at work in you, most of us have been saved by grace. We understand that Jesus came and he died upon a cross for our sins. And we get to that point and we understand that he positions us so that we can live eternal life with him. But many of us are plagued by the sin of the past. Many of us are diminished in our capacity to believe him because of what we did. But it doesn't matter, as that song says, what you did or who you are. You need to understand that today his power, if it's at work within you, overrides our insufficiency. It overrides our sin nature. It overrides our humanity. And today, don't allow your life to be diminished by what you've done in your past, because Jesus came so that your past has no power, but you have an enemy that's speaking to you. But today we bring that enemy down and we recognize that my God is bigger than whatever you might have done, wherever you might have been. He wants you to step into all that he has purposed for you today. But don't allow my God to be diminished by your sin. He's already got a plan in place. His grace, his power at work within you. He's working in you today. You know, I at home moved from a large home 2 years ago into an apartment here in the city. And I don't know what it is about the Australian mindset, but there's a mentality that if it's big, then it's important and I must be important. I mean, maybe this is just me. But I was living in a big house. It had big maintenance issues, a big garden. It had all sorts of other things, but somehow I diminished them for my net capacity, or who people see me are, is the size of the house that I live in. But God had other plans for me, and he took me from something very large to something very small. But who knows that even when you know that you're walking in what God has purposed for you, we tend to hang on a little to something of the past just in case it doesn't work the way we're thinking. So we had this huge storage cage in our apartment. Two car parking bays, 125 square meter apartment. For the three of us from where we'd come from, it was tiny. And all I could think of is my whole life I'd had a huge shed man cave. Let's face it, let's call it a man cave. It wasn't quite as big as the men's conference man cave, but it had that sort of feel about it. And anyway, I had tools. Now, for those that don't know, I used to be a carpenter, and Leonie and I did up many homes over the years. We'd buy homes, do them up, sell them, and so I used to love doing that. And so for me, there was a couple of things. My tools were like, I had so many tools that I knew I was going to have to get rid of some. But I worked out how I could put a shelf in the container and literally only get rid of about 20% of the tools. Leonie had all these household things and memory things. Oh, I like the memory things as well. I've got to say that because it's about the kids and other stuff, so I better say that. And but, you know, for her it was the memories and also then all these household things, you know, because every season Leonie changes what the house looks like and so she'd keep some stuff in storage. We had to now declutter. We had to bring everything down to this one cage. We got this cage, and I want to tell you that we packed it so succinctly, and then we actually shut the gates, and the gates you had to lean against to get the, you know, the bolt in, and then you shut the key. And I was thinking, there is no way I'm going to be able to do without these things, because they define who I am, define what a house is to me, define what I need to actually make a home work. But after 12 months, I realised I'd only been in the cage once. And I went in to try and find something, and because of the way we'd stacked it, it took me about 2.5 hours to find one thing, because it had been a year and also I didn't know where I'd put things. Wow, that was nearly all on the floor. And so I decluttered. I went through and I started throwing things out I didn't need, and suddenly I realised it was probably only 10% of all that I thought was necessary for me to move forward, bringing some of my past with me, that I actually required. 90% was able to be taken away. And here's the question for you today. What are you holding on to that's not of God? What are you holding on to that's clutter of the past? I made this mistake in the past, so I better hang on to this. So if I ever make that mistake again, but I want you to understand today that He's at work in you. And He therefore is expanding you. He's increasing your capacity. He's increasing your ability. So you don't need what was of the past. You don't need to hold on to what was there. You don't even need to think to yourself, I learned from my past, so I've just got to have it there in case in the future I hit this again, I'll pull it out. Today you need to declutter. You need to recognize that the reason that we have Jesus working it in our lives is because He's got the capacity to take away sin, eradicate it. The Bible actually simply communicates to us that the slate will be clean. It'll be lost. He doesn't remember. The problem is we do. But that doesn't take away from His ability to use you at a higher level just because you're still stuck where you were. Today, if you would understand that God is at work in you, His power is at work in you, His infinite capacity is there to take away even the very things that you feel like defined you. I was preaching in a church about 5 or 6 weeks ago. And this church I had an association with in the past, and I made some mistakes and had some attitudes and other things that were there. But I went back into this setting, and as I'm preaching, I realize that the very thing that I made a mistake in was the very thing that I was now helping this church in as it had a transition into its future. And I was literally standing before God saying, God, I can't believe that the very thing that I thought had defined me, that was going to be a limitation for the rest of my life, now became the most powerful thing that I could use, not just in any setting around the world, but in the very place where I felt like I'd made the mistake. Church, I want you to understand that we serve a God of redemption. We serve a God who doesn't hold it against us. We serve a God that we shouldn't be limited by what we may have done, because you see, we can get our sin right at the salvation altar call for the first time, but then we can live with all sorts of baggage. Today is a day to declutter. Today is a day to say, God, I'm going to put that aside. God, I'm going to let that go. That very thing that I thought defined me, that thing that hurt me, that thing that I feel like other people are looking at me and saying, that is who that person is, I'm going to let it go, because I serve an infinite God. I serve a God who has possibility. Even in my mistakes, He can restore me and use those as the foundation for the stepping stone for the very next thing He wants me to do. Our God is a God of redemption today. Is His power at work within you, or have you parked and not allowed Him to continue to work in the aspects of your life? My grace is all you need, for my power is greatest when you are weak. 2 Corinthians and verse 12. My grace is all you need, for my power is greatest when you are weak. You know, we know that in our weakness He is made strong, is what we quote. But in this passage of Scripture where it talks about weak, it's actually talking about our inabilities. See, many of us define what we're going to do for the Lord based on our abilities. But actually, if you understand that God's work is at power within you, it's got nothing to do with your lack. In fact, your lack becomes your stepping stone. Your lack becomes your achievement. Because why? In your inability, in your weakness, He is made strong. So God is actually looking for weakness that He can actually position you so that you can become strong. who He purposed you to be. The problem is that we put a limitation on what we believe we're purposed to be. And if we just totally surrender to God and we would allow His power to work within us, we wouldn't get parked at what we can do and what we can't do. Church, in this room today, I want to state it very clearly. It's not about your ability. It's about His power at work within you. What does it say in 2 Corinthians 8 in the Macedonian church? It says, they gave beyond their ability. That's an oxymoron. How is that even possible that you can give beyond your ability? How can you give money beyond what you actually have? Well, this is the whole point. You need to recognize when you actually understand that your alignment with God, and as you align with Him, suddenly He redefines the possibility of what you're going to do and be in life. You actually get this place where here I am and my inability is I don't have money. But when I team up with God, His power at work within me, His grace that is my provision, suddenly I'm able to give beyond my own ability. Church, this is something that a trading platform of the secular world doesn't understand. You see, when I stand in front of government ministers and I've had no political training, when I've had no understanding of how to rebuild an economy, when I've had no understanding about how to help, you know, push things forward as I'm doing in PNG, I'm standing there and my limitation is my ability. Ah, but my limitation suddenly is not my inability. My limitation is God's breeding ground for Him to show me that He is a truly infinite God, that He is a God that can come through in my circumstance. He's a God that can do what I can't do. And therefore, if I will acknowledge my inability, He can come through with His power. Is His power at work within you today? Because I tell you, in this place, some of you have put a definition on what God would be interested in your life, but some of you have also put a definition or a set of parameters that is limiting His ability to work in your life. Today is a day of redefinition. Are you allowing Him to work within you? Are you allowing His power to work within you? What about your marriage? Have you settled in your marriage? Have you settled in your relationship? Have you settled in that place? What about in your finances? Well, I'm comfortable and I'm at that stage in life where I've paid off a few things and everything's in order. Because at that moment, you've defined God. Maybe God's wanting to actually match your inability or your comfortability with something that He hasn't yet shown you, but it's way beyond your natural ability. Oh, I tell you, He's here. And He's speaking to people about, come on, let go. Let go of that past situation. Let go of that sin, that mistake, that thing you did that the enemy keeps plaguing you with. Let go of your ability. And, well, I've got to this place and I know who I am and I know what I'm purposed to do. And yet it's a definition. It's a constraint that's holding you back. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us. See, we need to recognize that our alignment determines our assignment. If we align with God and understand that He's infinite in His possibility, then where you are today is just the beginning. It's just a platform of what God's wanting to do in you. Some of you have allowed yourself to say, well, this is the marriage I'm in, and this is the children that I've got, and this is the amount of money I can earn, and this is what I'm going to do with my life. But I want to stir you today because my God is big. He wants you to build beyond that because He wants you to align with His purpose, which is infinite. Whatever you might think is big in your life is small in comparison to an infinite God. And you need to come to the place where you accept it. Do you accept that God is bigger than anything that's in your life? Do you accept that God can break open what currently feels like a limitation? Because the first thing that we need to do if we're going to step into the possibility is accept. And acceptance means we're going to believe or we're going to give credence to. We're going to credit God with the ability to take me beyond where I am right now. Some of you right now, even as I'm speaking, the enemy is speaking to you. And fear is starting to rise up because there's been a broken promise, a dream. There's been something of your past that has held you back and locked you down, tied you down to where you've been. But today, God wants you to understand that He wants to break through that limitation, that thing that didn't work out, that area where it felt like sin. And today, He wants you to understand that He's a God of grace. But His grace isn't just a nice thing, it's power at work within you. He wants to bring His power and add it to your inability so that you can step into the total possibility He has for your life. Immeasurably more. Immeasurably more. Limitless. Incapable of measuring what God is wanting to do in your life. Oh, I tell you right now, would you allow revelation to fall into your heart? What is it that's holding you back? What is it that's anchoring you? But then you need to accept it. But then the ultimate is you need to appropriate the fact that your God is big. You need to apply it to yourself. You need to seize it. To appropriate actually means to seize it. So today you've got an opportunity to seize this atmosphere of faith. But ultimately, faith without works is dead. If you're in this place and you've felt limited, you've felt constrained, once you had a dream, I remember my son saying to me, you know what I'd really love to be is a television director. And I remember looking at him literally, this is maybe 8 or 9 years ago, looking at him and smiling. That's great, son. Yeah, great. But what I was really saying, and I didn't tell him this, is television directing, what a hopeless career that is. What's going to come of that? What's going to take place? How are you going to use that? And he'd say, you know, I want to do films and I want to do this. Then he built a YouTube channel and he got a check in the post from YouTube. And we were like, where did this come from? And he said, Dad, I set up my own channel and people have started following me because I've been teaching people how to play certain games and now they're following my YouTube channel. And then he started to put movies on this channel and, you know, he would get checks. It wasn't huge, but like $20 US a month to like a 14-year-old boy. I'm like, what is this? And just last week, we're sitting talking about his options as he finishes school in a few weeks, and guess what they all are? To be a television director. And we happen to be in Planet Shakers with some of the best production equipment that you could possibly have. And he knows how to use the cameras, and he's saying to me, oh, Dad, this school teaches with red cameras, and we got red cameras at Planet Shakers, so I'm already ahead of the game. But my inability to see what's stamped on his life shouldn't become his limitation. Same for you. Some of you have allowed people to define you. You've allowed your circumstances. You've allowed a marriage to define you. You've allowed money to define you. But today we serve a big, big God. My God is big. He's bigger than your circumstance. Your sin can't hold you back. He is at work within you, His power, His grace, His provision. So today, would you dare to stand to your feet all over this room? You say, God, would you redefine the possibility? Oh, but you don't understand what people in this church think about me. You don't understand what happened with that relationship. You don't understand that I really mucked up that circumstance in life. I haven't been able to hold down a job. Today, I'm not celebrating any past mistake. I'm merely saying to you, don't let it become your camping ground for your limitation. Because your weakness, your inability, is God's trading platform. He's looking for it, but He needs someone who will say, I'm not able, God. But with what I have, here I stand. You know, in the last 12 months as I travel around, I get introduced as the guy that's working with governments around the world. And I hear them say it and I'm like, that's ridiculous. That's an overstating the case. Until I get a text from one of the senior leaders, one of the biggest African nations, probably every 2 or 3 days, asking me what I should do about things. And I get a random invitation to speak in a country to the president and his leadership group in Africa about what we should do. I, I go to Papua New Guinea and the Prime Minister of the country walks in the room that I'm having a coffee with someone. He stops at my table. He says, "How's things going with your projects?" Then I go, "Oh, yeah, maybe I am." I want to state to you today, I've got an inability. I've got no clue. But when I submit my inability, when I walk over my past hurts and pains, the challenges relating to leadership, finances, different things that I've had in my past, the enemy says, "You can't because of this." Ah. Oh. I want to tell you, my God is big, and I know He's big because His power is at work within me. And I'm doing infinitely, impossibly, beyond what I could ever believe or imagine. Not because of my ability, but because of His ability to work in me. Well, I hope you enjoyed my message. Our God truly is big. If you want to know more, why don't you check out planetshakers.com?